Joining us now live from our nation's capital is attorney Mary Rice Hassan with much more on this important issue for all parents. Mary is a Kate O'Byrne Fellow at the Ethics and Public Policy Center in Washington, D.C., where she directs the Person and Identity Project, which equips Catholics and Catholic institutions to promote the Catholic vision of the person and counter gender ideology. Good morning, Mary. Welcome back to Morning Air. Thanks so much for joining us. It's great to be with you this morning.
Well, good morning. Thank you very much for having me.
Mary, I'd love to get your reaction of the words, the passionate words that we just heard from Governor DeSantis.
I think he is spot on, and this bill is a terrific bill for parents because it protects the natural rights that parents have, but which have been increasingly trampled upon by school districts that and activist teachers who feel it's their right, in a sense, to expose children to information about sexual orientation, encourage exploration of gender identity, and not inform the parents. So this bill counteracts that and finally puts the power back in the hands of parents.
As I mentioned, the critics have been going crazy. They call it the Don't Say Gay Bill. There's been so much pushback. It's made a lot of headlines. Why has it been called the Don't Say Gay Bill to begin with by the critics?
That's just an inflammatory tactic. The bill says nothing about that. It is very specific, reinforcing that parents have the right to know what their children are being taught, what health services are being provided to their children, and particularly for young children, K through third grade, that parents have the right to be the ones to introduce and decide when and how to introduce knowledge about sexual orientation and gender identity, or not to introduce it. And so this just simply says the school is not going to intrude upon that. That's the parents' lane. So the choice of language by the activists who oppose this is simply designed to inflame people's outrage. And most of the people speaking against this really have not read the bill. It says nothing about, quote, don't say gay. That's not the bill. The bill is parents have the right to decide when and how to introduce this kind of material. School districts may not. They may not put this in the classroom because there's a respect that's articulated in the law for parents to really be the ones to make those decisions.
Mary, I'd love your perspective on the way that Disney specifically, probably more than anybody, has made a lot of noise the last couple of days, calling for a repeal of the bill. There's been protests. Their CEO has spoken loudly about it. Why so much pushback from Disney, of all people?
Well, it's interesting because one of the things that has come out in the past couple of days is that Disney, even prior to this bill becoming law, Disney has really doubled down on trying to put LGBTQ content or queer content, as some of their own employees have described it, into their own Disney programming, both in terms of media, but also in terms of how they engage patrons at their amusement parks and things like that. So Disney has made a corporate decision that they are going to, they feel that it's their right to push this at parents, at families, at young children. And, you know, their own employees have been kind of part of the furor and the uproar here. But that's not where most families are. In fact, in polling in the state of Florida, the majority of people from all across the political spectrum support this bill because they support the idea that parents should be the ones to know what their children are being exposed to, but also to decide when and how sensitive information is brought to their kids. Disney, unfortunately, is all in with prematurely exposing kids and just brushing parents aside. So that's something parents need to realize. This is not just about this bill in Florida. Disney is already on record as supporting, pushing LGBT content to kids across all their platforms.
And that's so disappointing, especially for those of us who grew up with Walt Disney and Walt Disney World, the Magic Kingdom. It used to be wholesome. It used to be family-oriented. Mm-hmm. And now we have this. In fact, my wife said to me this morning, that's it. No more Magic Kingdom. We're not going to Disney World in Florida anymore.
Yeah. I think your sentiments on that, your wife's feelings, are going to be echoed by families across the country, because they have chosen a path that the majority of families disagree with. And certainly parents are not going to be able to trust Disney and the creators of all this creative content when they're on record as saying they want to inject queer materials, and that's their language. And they want to ensure that there's LGBT characters in all of their shows and things like that. So I think parents have a choice to make.
I do not want to see Mickey transitioning into Minnie.
Well, according to Disney, you can't gender Mickey and Minnie anymore. You can't use pronouns that are going to be he, she, or whatever.
It's so absolutely insane. It is absolutely crazy. Yeah. Can you know, this obviously this bill is in Florida, but it has reverberations across our country. Other states are seeing what Florida is doing. Why is this parental rights and education bill so important as an example for other states and for our nation?
I think it's critical, because what we have seen, particularly in the past 2 years, is that parents have become aware of what has been happening in the schools, where activist teachers and sometimes school boards and curricular committee have taken it upon themselves to push this kind of content to kids. And many schools across the country have specific policies that say parents cannot be informed about things like a child's expression of identity confusion when they're at school, that they're affirmatively cutting parents out of this. So this bill really is a response to the abuses that we've seen across the country. And I hope it empowers state legislators and parents to push on their own state legislators across the country to put power back in the hands of parents, to make those decisions about sensitive things and get the schools back to what they're supposed to be doing, teaching reading, writing, arithmetic, and have them stay out of these controversial issues.
Looking at this issue from a wider perspective, why do you think that in today's society that so many are trying to sexualize everything, including our young children?
Well, I think honestly we are at a crossroads in our country, because we have seen a steady, not just erosion of Judeo-Christian values, but and principles and beliefs. We have seen an aggressive push to really sexualize children, to normalize LGBT identities and behaviors and things like that. And this is, parents need to really wake up if this is a newsflash to them. I mean, this really is a clash of anthropologies, a really deep division about who we are, the rights of parents, families, and what is healthy and good for children. So it should be no surprise to us that forces like Disney and those who have chosen one particular side are doubling down, because they're playing for keeps. So parents and families and believers and just people of good common sense, we need to stand our ground too. And we need to really fight for what's right, because the next generation depends on that.
We're joined this morning by Mary Rice Hassan, an attorney and a Kate O'Byrne Fellow at the Ethics and Public Policy Center in Washington, D.C. And Mary, I saw some parents who were outraged at the press conference. I mean, they were passionate about this issue. Can you talk about the importance of parents being involved and aware of what exactly is going on with their children, especially the little ones?
Yes, and at the press conference that Governor DeSantis held to announce this, I mean, some of the parents who were speaking were parents whose whose rights were seriously violated, with her kids being transitioned, pushed towards a gender transition by the schools, with the schools never informing them. So parents need to do a couple of things. One, be aware, be tuned in, understand what's going on. You may like the teacher and the school superintendent and the principal, but that doesn't mean that they're not committed to a different objective and that they're not going to be pushing this stuff on your kids. So you have to know what's going on. And then you've got to make the best decision for your children. As good as this bill is, it's not going to prevent, in many respects, some of these activists from finding other ways to bring this content in front of kids. How do we know? Because we're hearing activist teachers say that. So parents need to look at their own child and decide what's best, because there are no do-overs on childhood. And so you really have to look at where your child is and what are the influences and where that's going to take them down the road, and have the courage to do the right thing for your own children.
Mary, do you have a sense of if this issue is affecting Catholic grammar schools as well as the public schools?
Well, so it depends. Certainly there are many, many good dioceses, and Florida has many good bishops who are really working hard to keep this kind of thing out of the Catholic schools. That said, I travel all across the country speaking about gender ideology, and I can tell you, Catholic families are being affected by this, and sometimes it is happening in the Catholic school. The difference between whether it's happening in the public school or the Catholic school is the church has a very clear position. And so parents have the right, if they hear something or become aware of something happening in the Catholic school that is transgressing both parental rights but really sexualizing their kids, they need to be speaking up loud and clear and bringing that to the attention of the church, because that's not what the church stands for. So parents have to be vigilant no matter where your child's being educated. But you have to look at the two different directions that we're seeing. And God bless Governor DeSantis and the legislators in Florida for really trying to do their best to put power back in the hands of parents. But quite honestly, I think every child needs a faith-based education, and Catholic kids need to be in an environment that's going to support and reinforce their Catholic beliefs. And so parents have to, be aware and be willing to take action.
You know, it's funny. My wife reminded me that when our son was at that age, preschool, kindergarten, he could care less about anything to do
right.
with gender ideology. He was busy playing with his dinosaurs, to put it in perspective.
Right. Well, and unfortunately, when you start sexualizing kids, you get very bizarre results. So kids are not, sexually awakened, naturally speaking, before they hit puberty. And yet you've got kids who are 8, 9, and 10 who are, quote, coming out and saying, well, I'm asexual. I don't really have any sexual attractions. Well, no, it's just you're pre-pubertal. What is this in terms of putting on? Everyone's got to have a label, and we're forcing kids to think about things they're not developmentally even ready to grasp. So that's the problem when you have an agenda being pushed on kids. It just ignores the truth about the person, but the natural stages of childhood development.
Well, Mary, I so much appreciate your clarity and charity on this important issue of parental rights in schools. Thanks so much for being with us this morning.
Thank you so much for having me.
Mary Rice Hassan, Director of the Person and Identity Project.